الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Just a brief piece of advice inshallah to myself and the brothers and my wife and sisters. Only because the brother, you know, he asked me to offer some advice. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we're blessed. Allah Azza wa Jalla guided us to Islam. And there are many signs around us, alhamdulillah, that Islam is the religion of truth. For example, we see in this time, there's a focus in some countries, France, India, and other places in the world, where they're banning the hijab, or they're demonizing sisters, women, for wearing the hijab. And this highlights the hypocrisy and the double standard of those who claim to be ambassadors of freedom, and freedom of speech, and freedom of expression. Because if a woman chooses to wear the hijab, or to wear the jilbab, that's her choice. We thought that it was oppression to force women to do something that they don't want to do. They want to wear hijab. So why is the focus on the hijab? It's not the hijab. If we think it's just the hijab, then we haven't recognized what's going on around us. The issue is, they know within themselves that Islam is the religion of truth. They know it. That's why there's so much focus upon Islam and the Muslims. And they want to start with the hijab, but it's not going to end with the hijab. As Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ الْهُدَى هُدَى اللَّهِ. Say to them, the Yahud and the Nasara, the non-Muslims genuinely, they will not be pleased with you until you follow their religion. This is applicable to everyone. And it's not just applicable to the Yahud and the Nasara, generally, anyone who has a religion other than the religion of Islam. And liberalism is a religion, and I've spoken about this many times. Liberalism, neoliberalism is a religion. Their religion is what? Their religion is their opinion and their ideologies and their methodologies. That is their religion, they worship it. And to the extent they talk about the danger of wala and bara, having association and disassociation, their love and their hate is around their theology. To the extent that you disagree with them in a small matter, they demonize you, even if what you say makes sense logically and legislatively. So Allah tells us that they will never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. But alhamdulillah, in that we see advice for the Muslims. Say that the guidance is the guidance of Allah. And that's upon us, brothers and sisters, we have to learn our religion. We have to know what the religion is. What is al-Islam? Islam is Quran and Sunnah. All of us have to learn our religion so that when we're faced with these on a daily basis, when people try to bring us doubt about the religion, we know how to combat it. Somebody tries to bring a chuba about the jilbab, you know how to respond. Someone tries to bring a doubt about your belief, you know how to respond. Somebody tries to throw in a doubt about gender or anything like that, you know how to respond with wisdom. With wisdom. And Allah tells us, وَلَئِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If you follow their desires, because it's never going to end. You compromise on the hijab, the jilbab, later on, you'll be compromising about everything. Until you agree with them in totality, and you look back and you say, Subhanallah, it started with the hijab and I have nothing left. Even to the essence of my tawheed. That's the extent that I have to say now, because in order to be moderate in today's world, you have to say, you know, everyone's going to Jannah. You have to say, everybody's going to Jannah. Whether you're an atheist, agnostic, whether you worship a stone, whether you worship an idol, everybody's going to Jannah. But they only apply that to the Muslims, because the Christians, they say, no, if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you're going to hell. But for the Muslims, they say, no, you have to say that. And sadly, you find some Muslims, they, you know, because of the pressure, they're saying these type of things. All of the religions, they come from Allah. All of the religions are going to paradise. You haven't read Surah Al-Bayyinah? You haven't read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, they will never be pleased with you until you follow their religion. And if you follow their desires, بعد الذي جاءك من العلم, after knowledge has come to you, because with knowledge the truth is established. If we know something, yes, Allah Azza wa Jal will not punish a people until he sends to them a messenger. If you're ignorant, you have an excuse. But if you know, and then you abandon your knowledge, then Allah tells us, فَمَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. You have what? No protector. من ولي ولا نصير. You have no protector, no guardian that's going to protect you from Allah. Not in this world, not in the akhirah. When you stand before Allah, when you stand before Allah and Allah says, ask you Yawm al-Qiyamah, because every one of us is going to meet Allah. Every single one of us, Allah is going to speak to them, and there's not going to be a translator between them and their Lord. And Allah asks you, why was you scared to tell the people that yes, hijab is from the religion of Islam? We're talking about hijab because based upon the demonization of the Muslim women in India, and likewise outlawing the hijab in France, where they claim that, you know, they are an example for freedom. When you stand before Allah, what are you going to say? I was scared, I was intimidated. That's not an excuse. And that is why we need our brothers and our sisters to be confident. Because, and somebody may say, well, how do I react to that? What's going on in France, what's going on in India, maybe other parts of the world? How do I react to the onslaught against Islam? The answer is clear. Allah tells us in the next ayah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونُوا حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those who we gave the book, they recited the way it should be recited. It's not just reciting with the tongue. Recite with the tongue, understand with your heart, and act upon it with your lips. Wallahi, for the brothers and the sisters in India, their response to this, not going in the street like we're mad people, and you're just waving flags. We're not football supporters, hooligans. Rather, the response to that, you know what? I'm going to follow the religion more. I'm going to be firmer in my religion. I'm going to learn my religion more. I'm going to preserve my prayers more. Actually, if I'm falling short, I'm going to make sure that I pray my 5 daily prayers. I'm going to make sure that I fast the month of Ramadan. I'm going to make sure that I send the letters in the masjid so that I can, alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, I can withstand this, you know, onslaught. That's what we do. If, for example, all of us are being, if we're putting a, you know, a box or a home, we practice our religion more. That is more meaningful than demonstrations. Demonstrations are worthless. They're chaotic. It doesn't mean anything. Person that doesn't pray and he comes and waves a flag, what does that mean? Is that going to benefit him before Allah, and is it going to benefit the ummah? No. So I advise myself and the brothers and sisters that inshallah ta'ala that we make effort to learn our religion, and at the same time, we're confident. We live in the West. Some of us were born here, some of us came here, but we're confident in our personality. That is courage. Courage is saying the statement of truth, even though you fear some type of oppression or mistreatment. That's courage. And courage is, alhamdulillah, anyone can follow, anyone can be a chief. However, courage is that, alhamdulillah, that you have the courage, not just you say, I'm a Muslim by word, actually you see it in your actions. And a Muslim, alhamdulillah, it means that you have good character, good conduct, you treat the neighbors well, alhamdulillah, you interact with your colleagues at work or whatever in the best fashion. That's what I wanted to say, inshallah ta'ala. Just alhamdulillah, we can't just say Abdullah or Amatullah or Zainab, and that's the name on our passport or our identification, but in our behavior and our conduct, when you see you don't see Abdullah, or when you see them, you don't see Zainab. We have to try and the best. We believe as Muslims, we act as Muslims, we have the character of Muslims, and we're confident in that. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions a very beautiful benefit. He said the non-Muslims, they respect those who live in the non-Muslim land more if they hold on to their religion. Nobody respects a person that's going to bend and shake as they please. You know, you go in one day, yes, my name is Bob, or my name is Jim, and you're Abdullah Ahmed. No one respects that person. But if you go into work and my name is Hassan, or my name is Fulan, and alhamdulillah, you show that, yes, Muslims have excellent conduct and character, that's a person that would be respected. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us all success. Alhamdulillah, we see many of the brothers, alhamdulillah, many of the sisters turning walillah alhamd, turning to the religion, acting upon the religion and learning the religion. Allah Azza wa Jalla make you better than us. Barakallahu feekum. Anyone have any brief questions?
You have questions, Ikhwan.
Not here to debate them.
No questions. You know, the question I want to ask, no. You know, some people in this history, they say, why you said for this haram? Why? Why do we not protest? You know, like for example, when they use emotional arguments, like they look at Muslims oppressed in India, they say they should not protest. So, is it not the story of the Quran, the story of the Prophet Muslim, should be our example to follow? Like, they say, why are you against protesting when our brothers and sisters are being oppressed in India or China? Why you stop them from protesting? Protesting does help. So, how can we encounter, or how can we respond to that? Argument that they're using. Do we know what happened?
My answer to that question with regards to the state of
a weak state that we find the Muslims in China, or whether it's in, for example, in Rohingya or other places in the world. If we were to analyze the state of the Muslims, are they similar to the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were in Mecca? The answer is yes. The Muslims in Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he first, Allah sent him with his message, and Allah commanded him to convey it publicly and openly. The Muslims were in a state of weakness to the extent that when Allah Azza wa Jal guided Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, alhamdulillah, the Muslims had strength that they didn't have before. So the Muslims were in a period of weakness. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behave? If demonstrations were beneficial, it was something they were able to do. Anyone could go into the street and demonstrate. We don't find them doing that. What do we find them doing? We find them giving da'wah, calling the people to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, calling the people to worship Allah alone, stay away from shirk, calling the people to rectify and purify their souls, to better their character. And that was the da'wah. Even the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them after that to migrate. So you're saying to demonstrate. What about migration? The ones who talk about demonstration, they never mention migration. Why? Because it goes against the hawa. Religion is not about my desire, your desire. Religion is what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah. And the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't see any example for that. We don't see any example for it. Especially, for example, as we see in the lands of the Muslims, it only leads to chaos. And it leads to confusion. But even if we were to take, let's take an example. Khala, somebody may say, well, I believe religiously that is okay. Even though we oppose that. If you look at the Qatar and the Phoenix. However, let's look at the reality, al-waqi'. The reality on the ground. How many years have they been demonstrating for the causes in Syria, Palestine, and everywhere else in the world? Have things got better or they got worse?
Worse.
They've got worse. Why? Because at the end of the day, change is going to come from the Muslims themselves. Meaning, if we change ourselves, like I mentioned in the lecture in Cardiff, in terms of Allah and Sukkum, if you aid the cause of Allah, Allah will give you victory. So we have to change ourselves. When people change themselves and they sacrifice for Allah, you'll find change. I'll give an example. People blame the rulers, left, right, and center, right? It's the ruler's fault, the ruler's fault, the ruler's fault. So if I ask you, if, for example, the rulers, you had a ruler that, for example, said, you know what, I'm going to stand and I'm going to, for example, with the people in the Muslims in China, the Muslims all around the world, but that results in sanctions, meaning we're not getting any food, we're not getting any oil, prices shoot up. Who's going to be the first people in the street trying to overthrow on top of the ruler? So are we going to be patient in that circumstance? The Sahaba, look, the companions, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, the Mushrikun of Quraysh, they placed against them sanctions. Sahaba were hungry, the women were hungry, the babies were crying because the mothers, they couldn't even breastfeed their children, the children were crying. Even, subhanAllah, some of the non-Muslims from the Qabail, the same tribe, they also were persecuted because they were supported the Muslims because of Qabila, not because of religion. So everybody was persecuted. I ask you and I ask myself, if we're placed in that situation, are we going to be firm? Are we going to see our babies crying and we're going to say, okay, we're going to remain firm upon Qitaal and Sunnah, whatever happens to us. So stop blaming the rulers, let's look at ourselves. Like Ali radiallahu anhu said, when they said to him, how come we're in this state in your time? And at the time of, you know, Abu Bakr and Umar, it was like such and such. He said, because they were dealing with people like me and I'm dealing with people like you. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be patient? Okay, sorry. You know, you have to see, well, yes, the ruler. Sorry, okay. Even though, again, we disagree with you in that. However, if the ruler was to stand firm and basically say, this is our position, Allah said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then sanctions came from the various bodies in the world, the recognized governmental bodies, and prices went up, who's going to be patient? Who? Who's going to be patient? Or who's going to be in the street trying to tear everything down?
The danger
with this argument as well. It's from Iman, no doubt. We shouldn't get confused. Because some people, they say, you know, you don't have any empathy about what's going on. No, anything that we see about the Muslims in the world, wherever they are, subhanAllah, even the non-Muslims. When we see, like, for example, innocent women being killed or children being killed, even in Ukraine, or the elderly suffering, our heart goes out to them. No Muslim likes those. Islam doesn't accept oppression towards anyone, even a non-Muslim, an animal. So how about the human being? So therefore, it is our brother and sister, it's even, you know, more alarming. And it should grieve us. However, how do we respond? We have to respond the way that's legislated. The way that's legislated. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows a person to respond to oppression, but we find in ayat, He links it to what? He says, do not go to extremes. Do not go beyond bounds. Why? Because when you respond to injustice, you can only respond with that which is legislated. And I'll give a worldly example so you understand what I'm saying. Take for example, wala'iyadubillah. Somebody came and they wronged your parents or they attacked your parents. Does that make it lawful for you to go and attack their mother or father? No, we know it doesn't. The same thing, we can only respond in a legislative fashion. Does that mean you don't care about your mother? No, you care about your mother. She's the most beloved person appeal to you. But at the same time, we can only respond in a legislative way. And alhamdulillah, again, the reality is, you can't deny it. If you look at the people of the Sunnah, they're in the world, alhamdulillah, or they're in Yemen doing charity work. They're in parts of Africa doing charity work. The brothers, they went, alhamdulillah, to Greece, aiding the Syrians, refugees, doing charity work. Alhamdulillah, here, likewise, all over the world. So alhamdulillah, let's look at the reality and not myths that people make up. Now,
other question. Read like Musa, Musa when the son of Fir'aun.
No.
So, the Israelis, by never let us go out, Musa, the protest. Musa never did protest.
I mean, the thing about it, look, what does it work? What does it change? At the end of the day, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said that victory comes with patience. Victory comes with patience. And change is not an easy process. Change, a tahir, first of all, that the change starts with the individual, ourselves. Come on, Ikhwan, all of us, we know our strengths and we know our shortcomings. We know our strengths and we know our shortcomings. If we were to ask ourselves, are we deserving of the nasr of Allah? If we were to say to ourselves, are we deserving of Allah's help and aid? How many of us would answer yes? How many of us, you know, yuhafidun ala salawat al-khams, preserve the five daily prayers in their time? And if we're men, we go to the masjid if we're able. Just that question alone. And we can't think we're entitled to something just because we say that we're Muslim. The people of the book, they made the same mistake. They believed that they were entitled. Allah said, this is your wish, this is your desire. The Muslim is the one who submits and surrenders to Allah with tawheed. The rich submits and surrenders. You obey the commands of Allah. You're going to stay away from the prohibitions. Yes. You have a group like that, even if they are small, even if they are few, come and see us in Qareena, how many times you have a small group of people, they can overcome a large group of people. And again, it's not just for the adults. You know, the youth, sometimes they think that that's for the, you know, the older brothers or the older sisters. No, that's the problem, even with the youth. The people of the king, Surah Al-Kahf, it was young people. They made the change. And that's what we need from the youth. We need people who have the confidence. Now, they're not confidence where you're not on road. You're not on the street. You don't think you're a gangster. Rather, you have the confidence, alhamdulillah, to implement your religion and be you. Meaning, alhamdulillah, you're Muslim, raised in a Muslim household, or you became a Muslim. That's your identity. Person that's weak, they say that the weak follows the strong. And when someone behaves like somebody that they're not, it says a lot about him. May Allah make it better than what we are.
Ameen.
Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum.
I'm going to come to you.
Go home.
Yeah. 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 انا مغربي صاحبي كاميرا انا وهذا وكاميرا الله يكون بخير ان شاء الله.